praise for a moment. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. I wonder if I got any saved, sanctified folk in the building. Anybody been washed by the blood of the Lamb? When I think of the goodness of Jesus, oh, he's done for me. My soul cries out. Come on, somebody ain't hearing me right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! Come on, it's feeling like an apostolic church in here tonight. Amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in the church house tonight. A lot of reason we could have a frown on our face, but we got a lot more reason to have a smile because God's been good to us. I don't deserve to be in church tonight. Maybe you're perfect, but I don't deserve to be here. And the fact that God let me be here, I got all the reason to make his praises known. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. And I love what we feel in this house tonight. So grateful for the presence of God. And I feel with all of my spirit that before we walk out the door and the lights go off, that God is getting ready to divinely intervene in somebody's world. Amen. I don't just say that to make you feel good. I know what I felt this afternoon all day long. I've been itching to get in the pulpit tonight because God's got a word for somebody. God's getting ready to move on somebody's behalf tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Psalm chapter 46. Psalms, the 46th chapter. I think out of all 150 psalms, it's hard to pick one, but if you made me pick one, this would rival for my favorite psalm out of all of them. Psalms chapter 46 is powerful. Amen. Thank you for letting me be here, Pastor Crosswhite. I love this wonderful man of God. Love Sister Crosswhite, this family. You're blessed with wonderful, tremendous, godly, and anointed leadership. And I know you're grateful people tonight, but it's always good to be reminded how blessed you are to have such wonderful leadership. And of course, the confidence that he has to allow me to stand in this great sacred desk, I do not take it lightly. Amen. Pray for my wife. She's recovering. That's the only reason she's not with me. And I feel, we say in Oklahoma, a phrase that's called, I feel like a hair in a biscuit. You just don't belong. I kind of feel like I don't belong tonight because she's not here with me. I feel a little lost without her. So y'all going to have to step up the amens. Amen, amen. Psalms chapter 46. We see this scripture on bumper stickers. We see it on bookmarks. You see it on all kinds of things. But it's more than all that. It's the Word of God. Psalms chapter 46 verse 10 makes it very known. Be still and know that I am God. Now listen, y'all didn't know what I was going to preach, but I knew what I was going to preach over there. And they started singing that second song about the oneness of the Godhead. Then they got off on that third song and said, I won't stand there and watch the Lord. And I'm sitting there going, God, you got this so lined up. The only one that can mess it up is me. Yeah. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. We just sang this next part. I'll be exalted in the earth. Don't tell me God don't know what's going on in this house tonight. I want to preach to you this evening something that it may not be a revelation to you, but it was a revelation to me. So you take it for what it's worth. But this is what God instructed me to deliver to this congregation. I just want to preach for a few moments. Be still until. Can you say that with me? Be still until. If you're going to help me preach, you can be seated. If you're not, stay standing. We'll deal with you first. Here we go. Praise God. There are a few times when we see the command to be still or to stand still or to even halt or wait in the Word of God. Again, I had the notes there before they were singing about it, but Moses looked at the people he had just led out of Egyptian bondage, and the Egyptians were hot on their trail, close in pursuit, and Moses turns around and looks at the people, and this is the decree he makes. He says, "Fear ye not, and stand still." Why are we going to stand still, Moses? Don't you see what's going on behind us? Moses said, you're getting ready to see the salvation of the Lord. If you ain't got the Holy Ghost tonight, I believe if you'll stand still long enough, God will let you see His salvation tonight. Hallelujah. If you've never repented of your sins and been baptized in the name and been filled with the Spirit of God, you're in the right house. If you really want it, God will show you the salvation of the Lord. Oh, I'm telling you, it's all over me tonight. I got to be careful, but I'm going to be honest with you. The salvation of the Lord isn't how many beads you count. It's not many how many Hail Marys you pray. It's not about how much confession you do in a booth somewhere to some priest. God bless his heart. I got nothing against him. But I'm going to tell you, the only way you're really going to be saved is if you say, God, I confess to you. I surrender to you. Because I'm going to tell you, the priest can't take your sins away. The only thing that can take care of your sin is the blood of Jesus. Ooh, what can wash away my sin? Hallelujah, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Only way you're going to make it to heaven is if you get rid of them sins. And the only way to get rid of them is if you go down in a watery grave and they don't say in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But when they baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ, they baptize you in the Father, and they baptize you in the Son, and they baptize you in the Holy Ghost, because all these three are one. Well, praise God. I'm just talking about the salvation of the Lord. Yeah. Amen. And so Moses tells them, you're getting ready to see the salvation of God as long as you'll stand still. And then he makes the statement for the Egyptians whom you have seen today. You shall see them again no more. Not just for a few days. Not just for a few weeks or months or even years, but he said, you're about to see them no more forever. Oh, hallelujah. And then Moses says, for the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And can I tell you today, God showed up. You want to know what's getting ready to happen in the next few moments? God's getting ready to show up. And just like then, the people watched in awe and wonder as those mighty Red Sea waves parted and they walked on the other side. And when they turned around, saw those dead Egyptians washing up on the shore. I believe somebody can have one of those moments tonight where you can go through the water and you can turn around and say, hey, the addiction that used to have me bound, it ain't gonna bother me no more. That alcohol problem I used to have. Let me tell you, when you go through the water, there's just some things that's not going to follow you. I don't care how bad the addiction is. I don't care how bad the mental issue is. When you go through the watery grave, can I tell you, God has a way of taking care of all of that. Hallelujah. And I know today, I understand we preach and teach a lot about fighting the good fight, and rightly so. We've got to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. There is no doubt. Plenty of scripture to take care of that. But I want to address this today in a different manner and tell you that there, as much as you have to fight, there are some battles that you can't fight. You can't fight them on your own, at the least, I should say. There are some situations that and that you do everything that you know what to do and nothing happens. And it's in those moments that we have to learn to stop and to stand still. You got to learn to be still and just let God work it out. I learned something a long time ago, and I actually pinned it here over my notes tonight, and that is this. There are some things that can get out of your control, but nothing's ever out of God's control. Woo, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something today. Our world is consumed with instant gratification. We want what we want, and we want it right now. And if we don't get it, we get upset, and we get offended, and we get discouraged. But can I tell you, the words that were written thousands of years ago ring true today. You got to learn to be still. I said, you got to learn to be still. I just got back from Los Angeles, and I'm going to tell you, if you didn't drive like a maniac, you're going to get run over. And I'm very thankful to get back to East Texas, because I can go down Highway 103 back there to Etole, and I can just putter along. I don't have to worry about nobody running me over. I can kind of go at my pace. And I'm going to tell you, it's nice to be able to slow down every now and then. Amen. But that's hard to do in the kingdom of God, so it seems. And I think we can learn a lesson or two from just studying this good book. And one of the things that I learned is from a man by the name of King Jehoshaphat. The enemy came against him in battle, and the people were uncertain of what was to take place. They gathered together, and the word of the Lord came forth. That's why you can't miss one church service. Because when the people of God gather together, the word of the Lord's going to go forth. And can I tell you something? When the word goes forth, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You say, God, increase my faith. Well, then come to church and hear the word. Hallelujah. And so Jehoshaphat says to the people, he says, Judah, I want you to listen to me. Thus saith the Lord, unto you be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, it's God's. Boy, I tell you what, I'm going to get happy one way or the other, whether you preach with me or not, whether you agree with me or not. I've come to tell somebody the battle's really not yours tonight. Some of y'all been fighting some things, and I know what I feel in the Holy Ghost. But you about to find out today that the battle's really not yours. You've been walking around in fear, and you've been dismayed in your heart and in your spirit because of the great multitude that's been coming against you. But oh, what God said on this heart today is you tell my people one more time that the battle is not theirs. It's my battle. And can I tell you something? It's one thing when you fight your battle, but it's another thing when God steps out on your battlefield. Woo! Hallelujah. And so Jehoshaphat, I got a little foundation to lay here. I got to hurry. He says, you shall not need to fight in this battle, but rather I want you to set yourselves and stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. And then he tells them, don't you have fear, because tomorrow you're going to go out against them, and this time the Lord's going to be with you. I wonder what Monday's going to look like. I'm telling you, I feel this so strongly in my heart today. I'm not a prophet. I'm never claiming to be one. But what I feel so strongly in the Holy Ghost tonight is I feel like some things are getting ready to change. Because God's been with you all along, but God's getting ready to make himself known like he's never made himself known. And you're going to step into the battlefield on Monday morning, but this time you're going to be able to know that you know that you know. This time I ain't by myself, because good God Almighty, he's walking at my side. Can I tell you today, if God be for you, it don't matter who's against you. God is greater and God is stronger. And God is mightier. It doesn't matter what you're facing. God's greater than anything that you face. Hallelujah. I've been in that moment where I feel like I'm all by myself. And it's easy to get that pity party thinking and just kind of woe is me and what have you. And some of y'all are even there tonight. Amen. You feel like I'm in the middle of this raging battle and nobody knows what I'm going through and God doesn't know what I'm facing and God doesn't know what I'm up against. And I come to encourage you and tell you that you may feel like there's no end to the turmoil. You may feel like there's no end to your chaos. You may feel like there's no end to the problematic in your world. And you've done everything that you know to do. And you've tried everything that you know to try. And you're weak in your faith and weary in your spirit. But God has sent me to preach to you. Now it's God's turn. I know it's been crazy. And I know it's been hectic. But God wants this church to know it's His turn. You've done your part. Now God's getting ready to do His. And can I tell you something? When God starts stepping on the scene, when God starts walking where you're walking, when God shows up where you are, something's going to change. I believe chains are going to break and walls are going to come down. I believe people can be set free. Are you hearing me on a Sunday night? The God that I serve, He knows how to show up in the midst of whatever you're going through and turn it all around. I come to tell you, it's God's turn. It's God's turn. Whatever you're facing, it's God's turn. May we be reminded the battle really is not ours. It's God's. It's God's. Amen. And I just believe if we'll stand still, be still long enough and hold our peace, God's going to fight this battle. You say, preacher, I'm not smelling what you're stepping in yet. Let me try to help you with what God's put on my heart. My task is simple. I've got to remind somebody of who He is. Be still and know I am God. Now, that I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. But to me, that means whatever I'm doing, I need to stop. And I need to be still. And I need to know He is God. Now let's get down where the rubber meets the road for just a second. I feel like the problem we're faced with in this service tonight is that we have forgotten who God really is. Because if we knew who He really was, we would have already gotten rid of the depression. If we really knew who God was, we'd look discouragement in the face and say, "You ain't got no space here." If we really knew who God was, it wouldn't matter what spirits attached itself to you, what demon from hell you're wrestling with. If we really knew who God was, we would know that God is greater. What's God greater than? He's greater than everything that I face. And the devil knows if he can wear us down and wear us out. And in the battle, in the fight, if we can get weary, which that's a tactic of the last days. I mean, it's in the Bible. He said, "I'm going to wear out the saints of the Most High God." That's part of His plan. And He understands if I can just keep them fighting, if I can just keep them swinging the sword, and if I can keep them to where they're worn down, they're not going to be still long enough to know and to remember who God really is. Sometimes we get caught up in the busyness of life that we leave God out of the equation. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. We go through life's journey dealing with everything that is thrown our way, and it can almost seem like too much. And we're quick to jump to the scripture, "God will never put more on me than we can bear." And I do agree, I do believe, but I've seen it too many times. I've lived it too many times to know. I've had moments I'm barely staying afloat. And I'm trying to juggle everything there is and trying to survive and wondering at night, laying awake all night long, what am I going to do about everything that's going on? And whenever I saw this and God revealed it to me, the answer is as simple as it can be. You just got to be still. You got to push the pause button and say, wait just a second, stop what I'm doing and let me bask in the presence of Almighty God and put everything I'm carrying in His hands and realize He's a God that can take care of whatever and everything that you got going on. This is simple tonight. I hope you didn't come expecting something profound. But biblically, we know God wants to load us daily with benefits. But it's hard for God to load you with benefits when you're walking around carrying burdens. Come on, I wish I had a little help here on a Sunday. And I know you're weary. I know you got to work this week. I said God wants to load you with benefits. But before you can take the benefit, you got to let go of the burden. That's why we cast our care on Jesus. Because Jesus cares for us. It doesn't matter how big the burden is. It's never bigger than our God. And if you're still long enough, you'll understand. I know who God is. God can take care of every burden I'm carrying in my life. God, I'm tired of the burden. I'm ready for the benefit. Problem is, so many people, they're not still long enough to know that He's God. What we need tonight is a fresh revelation. And I'm trying to keep it slow. I'll preach in a second if God will let me, but I don't want anybody to miss what I'm saying. We need a fresh revelation of who God is. Because here's where we are. We know the adversary. We've preached about him. We're quick as preachers. I'm guilty of it to preach about the devil. I am. I'm quick to tell you what the problem is. The enemy's after you. He's a roaring lion. And he's trying to take you. And I have no problem. I've preached it here even. We need to put that devil under our feet. But you know, God convicted me. He said, you preaching about him a lot. Why don't you preach about me? I understand we know who the adversary is, but do you know who God is? We know where the adversary is, but better yet, do we know where God is? Let me ask you something. I know where you placed the devil, but where have you placed God in your life? I mean, let me just dig a little bit. How do you view God? How do you depict God? My wife and I, we went to the Griffith Observatory. It's a fancy little old 90-year-old telescope thing, and you see all the way out in the stars. And I didn't go in there for messages, but as I walked through that planetarium thing and saw all the displays of, you know, God's creation, and they're selling you big bangs and rocks, and I'm sitting there going, I may look like it, but I didn't come from no monkey. And I started taking little pictures on my phone of these little things. And one of the things that stood out to me was these stars that we see in this beautiful East Texas sky. And how bright they can be on a night that's no clouds and what have you. And I read one inscription that said that these stars, some of them are light years. And I can't even do the math on it because it's way above my education. But they're so far away. And yet they look through them and they're so small. They're so small. But one of the things says is that's the reason we use a telescope, is because it helps magnify that which is small. It doesn't make the object bigger. It just allows us to see the object for what it really is. That's why David said, oh, come and magnify the Lord with me. Listen, you're not going to make God bigger than what He already is. Maybe the reason your God seems so small and so far away is because of where your relativity is in distance to Him. Maybe if you started walking just a little closer with thee, Jesus, maybe God would become bigger in your world. Maybe your problem would minimize and God would maximize when you started to magnify. Oh, come and magnify the Lord. Could we ever look through the telescope of God's word and say He's not far from any one of us, but He's right here? How do you view God? It's like that little boy in kindergarten who was asked to draw a picture in art class. And after a little while, the teacher walked over and said, young man, what are you drawing? And he, without any hesitation, he quickly replied, I'm drawing a picture of God. She kind of grinned and politely smiled and responded, but Son, nobody knows what God looks like. The little fella put down his pencils and colorings and whatever he was doing and looked her squarely in the eye and declared, they'll know what he looks like when I'm done drawing him. You want to know what this preacher's trying to do in the most simplest of ways tonight? I got my crayon box out and I'm trying to draw God for somebody. I'm trying to let somebody see God for who he really is. And I'm going to say something others may can say, I don't really know him. But as the church of the living God, we have to have the testimony that we know who Jesus is. Well, we've got to have an understanding today that we know who God is in our lives. I'm going to tell you, you got to know who he is. It matters that you believe and know who he is. Without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. Come on now. And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me tell you something. I don't go to the prayer room just to ask God for my little to-do list of things I need him to meet. I don't go to the prayer room and the prayer closet just to say, God, I need this, that, and the other. I need this need met and this need supplied. There's a time for that. I'm not against it. But there are times that I want to go pray and seek after him just because I believe who he is. And I want to get just a little closer to him, because the closer I am to him and the more that I know him, the less the problem seems to be in my world. I think I said this last time I was here when I pastored. It's why God don't let me pastor no more. But these people come to me and say, I need counseling. Okay, have you prayed about it? No. Well, go pray about it and then we'll counsel. I'm not a counselor, but nobody ever came back after they prayed about it. Because once you get close to God, the problem, it's just not as bad as you think it is. Because God's so great in your world. I don't know how else to do this today. And so I tried to walk down memory lane as a little boy and start thinking back to some of the things that I heard as a child sitting on the front rows of my home church. And I got to thinking and reminiscing. And I had one old preacher that came to mind that came through. And I started scribbling some things down when this all came together. And I said, God, I want to show the church as best as I can who you are. Will you let me attempt to try to draw a picture of God tonight? They said that God was Adam's redeemer. And he was Abel's vindicator. And he was Abraham's sacrifice. And he was Moses' bush on fire. And he was Noah's ark and Joshua's battle axe. He was Gideon's fleece and Samson's power. He was David's music and Solomon's wisdom. He was Jeremiah's balm in Gilead. He was Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. You got to know who he is tonight. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. We call him Wonderful and Counselor, the Mighty God and the Everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. Can I tell you who Jesus is? He is the fairest of 10,000. He's the bright and the morning star. He's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon. He's Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Rapha, and Jehovah Jireh. He's Yahweh, Adonai, Elohim, and Emmanuel. He's my portion. He's my hiding place. He's my refuge. He's my shield. He's my strong tower. Somebody's missing a moment right now. He's the lifter up of my head. He is my deliverer. He's a miracle worker. He's a healer and a heart changer. He's a mind fixer. He's a sustainer of souls. He's the savior of the world. He's the King of glory. He's the rock of all ages. Can I tell you who Jesus is? He said, I'm the fount of living water. I'm the bread of life. I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
and I'm the spotless lamb, but I'm also the chief shepherd, and I'm a faithful God. He's unparalleled, he's unprecedented, he's unsurpassed, he's unshakable, he's unmovable, he's unstoppable. Can I tell you who Jesus is? To the fallen he lifts up, to the failure he forgives, to the stumbler he steadies, to the weak he is strong, to the lost he is the way, to the fearful he's courage, to the hopeless he's hope, to the hurting he's a healer, to the broken he restores, to the blind he leads, and the hungry he feeds, to the persecuted he protects, and to the unloved God is love. God is everything and anything that you need him to be. He is God. God, help me tonight. Not just that. Not just that. We're talking about who God is. Maybe this is just a Bible study. I should have saved it for a Thursday night or something. Not only is he all of that, but he's God all by himself. Thank you, Sister Crosswhite, for obeying the Holy Ghost tonight. Part of being still and knowing that he is God is knowing the revelation of the Godhead. This is going to be old hat for some of y'all. So you just sit there and fold your arms and just forget what message kind of this is that saved you, you know, and kept you. But you don't worry about that. We're going to talk to somebody that really wants to know who Jesus is tonight. There is great importance in knowing this one God message. We cannot afford to let it get lost in the archives of life. We can't afford to let it just be a mundane thing. It's got to even be more than just part of your religion. It needs to be more than something that pastor preaches and teaches. You need a revelation for yourself. I'm getting ready to tell you why. But before you know the why, you just need to know, I need to know who he is. It matters that you know who God is. Jesus himself let us know how important all this was. They came to him asking, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Now, I would have thought, don't kill nobody would be up there. I'd have thought, you know, don't steal your neighbor's wife or something. But Jesus answered and said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now I got to asking God, out of all of those commandments, why in the world is it important knowing how many of you there are? Thou believest there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and they tremble. I want you to hear me today, because if not, you're going to get messed up and pastor's got to clean you up. So don't do that. We can preach holiness till our ears turn blue, and so we should, because without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's a salvation issue. You got to walk holy, talk holy, live holy, act holy, think holy. We are a holiness people, and we ain't changing. I'll give somebody else a chance. I said, we're a holiness people, and we're not changing. I know this man well enough. It don't matter what you do. We're not changing the fact that we are a holiness people. And we can preach salvation every Sunday. And so we should. Because it's the only way we're going to make it to heaven. There's only one plan of salvation, not 300. We talked about that. That's not how it works. We've got to preach salvation. And we got to preach about prayer, because this church was birthed. I'm talking about in Acts chapter 1 and 2 and all that. Church was birthed on prayer. And when God comes back, the church is going out on prayer. So we better be a praying people. And we got to preach about faith and the miraculous and all of that and so much more within the pages of this wonderful book. But can I tell you, I have searched it front to back. I've looked. If I'm wrong, forgive me, but I have looked everywhere. I have never seen another subject in the Word of God that makes hell tremble. That's right. your holiness and the length of your sleeves and all the things that you got, it don't scare hell. And you can repent of your sins and go down in the water and get the Holy Ghost. But guess what? It really don't make hell tremble. And your shout and your Sunday night dance and how many times you can run the aisles and how fast you can go, it really don't scare the devil. But when you study the scriptures, there's only one thing that causes devils to start trembling. Honey, if the devils tremble at who God is, don't you think you ought to be still long enough to know who God is also? The devils believe and know there is only one God, and they begin to shake. Let me tell you, why do you think hell fights the oneness so much? They ain't messing with the Baptist folk. I'm nothing against the Baptist people. They ain't messing with all these other people. They after the oneness folks. They understand. Hell knows if God's people will be still long enough to know who God is, something's going to happen they have no control over. I'm really preaching an ultimate key to victory tonight. I'm being honest with you. The devils have this revelation. It just took one of God to kick all of us out of heaven. He didn't need Granddaddy Jesus. He didn't let a little dove flying around to help him kick that third of the angels out. But every devil in hell knows there was only one of him, and he whooped all of us. That's why we got to keep highlighting this oneness message every chance we get. It's more than just words on paper. But we need to know the inexhaustible power that we have available to us. A couple of years ago, I was in Northern California preaching, and I was preaching a message about oneness, something completely different. But I, right in the middle of my preaching, I had a man come in the back door, and he was dressed in all black clothing, and had piercings all over, and tattoos, and just a very, if I can say it, this was kind of a spooky looking individual, and I felt something off the moment he walked in the middle of the preaching, and I just kept on preaching about the oneness of Godhead. And about 2 or 3 minutes, he stood up and gripped the back of that chair, and his knuckles turned white. I could see him where I was standing in the pulpit, and I thought, oh God, we got one of them crazy people, and he's going to charge the pulpit, and you know, it's going to be a fiasco. And here I'm thinking this while I'm preaching, and I just kept on preaching on one God, and it was just getting tighter and tighter and tighter in that service. I thought, God, what is going on? And he just stood there glaring at me. About 3 minutes, he couldn't take it. And he kind of trotted out the side door, leaned down to the lady he was sitting next to and left out the side door. And I didn't even get to finish preaching. That place exploded. They had no, he was at the very back. He wasn't a distraction. Nobody knew he was there probably. But as soon as he hit the door, the place exploded. Afterwards, the lady that he was sitting next to came up. She said, Brother Wainwright, do you know that man that was sitting next to me? I said, yeah, I saw him. Is everything okay? And she said, that's my backslidden brother. She said, he's one of the leaders of one of the largest satanic cults here in Northern California. He's possessed by many, many things, and he's messed with a bunch of terrible things. And she said, you kept on preaching on that oneness thing and how many gods there were. And he stood up, and he couldn't take it, and he leaned down to me, and he said, it won't let me sit here with that kind of preaching going on. And that's when I knew I had the devil by the tail. I discovered something. I know if nothing else works, I know something that's going to put hell on the run. And so I had an experience not too long later. I had, and I don't make a big deal out of this, but I had kind of one of those encounters where the devil came after me one night, and I woke up and there was a spirit. And I'm telling you, I went to praying, and I prayed and I pled the blood and said the name of Jesus. And I got to thinking back to that moment. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? I got the lamp on and I got my Bible out. I said, this joker ain't leaving. I think I know what's going to send him on the run. And I just opened the Word and said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And without controversy. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Can I tell you what happened? That thing left the room. There was a liberty that came over the house. Let me tell you what some of y'all need to do. You need to go back to your home and open the Word of God and start quoting that scripture. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You don't see it right now, but in the spirit realm, there's some trembling going on. There's some shaking going on. I believe devils that are hovering over some of your backslidden baby's home, I believe they're trembling right now. I believe something's breaking in the community of Nacogdoches when they know there's a church that's getting a fresh revelation of who God is. That all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. God said it like this. He said, I'm the Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I'm the first and the last. Beside me, there is no God. And then Paul, you know, Paul's smart. He's an intellect. He said, fellas, y'all making this too extravagant with all your William Shakespearean literature in the Old Testament. He said, it's real simple. It's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. It's not any simpler than that right there. And He's one God and Father of all, who is above all. That means He's above every struggle. He's above every trial. He's above every problem. He's above every devil coming after you. And He's one God through all. And if you'll get this Holy Ghost on the inside, He'll be one God in you all. You gotta be still until you know He is God. Problems of life, they'll be handled a lot differently if you have a fresh revelation. I know who Jesus is. Can y'all give me just a couple more minutes? I want to put the icing on the cake, if that's all right. Almost done. I love icing. You can stay standing or sit down. It's whatever you want. I'm going to try to hurry. But I told you Psalms 46 is one of my favorite chapters. It's not a long chapter, but I want to read it to you because it's about to just kind of push this thing over the edge tonight. It's going to change the dynamic of your week if you'll really get a hold of what I'm about to preach to you. Now, I don't know. I've got this imagination. I was a loner as a child, didn't have many friends. So it's just me and my imagination. And this is what my imagination depicts. I have no idea if that's how it really was. I couldn't find it. If this is how it was or it was another way, I don't know. So since I couldn't find it, we're just going to go with my imagination. This writer of Psalms 46, it's not David. I picture him in like this dimly lit room, or maybe it's a little cave or something. And he's got a little half of a candle melted down. And I don't know if they had parchment back then, but he had something to write on. And I see this long feather pen. And he has one of them little fancy bottles of ink that he was dipping it in. And the inspiration of God comes over him. And he's sitting there in this candlelit environment. And he begins to pen the words of Psalms 46. And he starts it out, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Look at your neighbor, say, He's an on-time God. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah or Selah, depending on where you're from. Selah just means to take a pause. We ain't gonna get into all that. It just means to take a break. Just stand still for a minute. And the writer steps back from the little table that he's writing on, and he goes, wow, God's my present help in time of trouble. Whew. He I'm not gonna fear nothing. Earth can be removed, the mountains can be carried. It don't matter what happens. God's my refuge and strength. And he dips that feather pen back in the ink bottle and starts writing again. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. We sang about it tonight. God shall help her. You know he's talking about the church. He said there's a tabernacle and God's going to be in the midst of her and the church ain't going to be moved. It don't matter what comes our way, hell or high water, God's going to have a church and God's going to be in the middle of the church and the church ain't backing down and the church ain't backing up and the church ain't falling by the wayside because God's going to be in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. Kingdoms, it doesn't specify, which lets me know that means every kingdom, including the kingdom of hell. He uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. He scoots back. Whoa, God's in this room and he's inspiring me to write this. And this is powerful. Then he picks up the pen again and dips it in the ink bottle. Come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. And he maketh wars to cease. Again, he doesn't specify which war. We're not talking about the Afghani war or anything else over in the Middle East, which means the war going on between your ears tonight. God's got the power to make that war cease. Help me, Jesus. I wish I could preach this like I really feel it tonight. I'm telling you, some of you walked in here with a battle in your heart and a battle in your mind, but God's come to remind you of who he is. And if you'll get a revelation of who God is and the power he has, whatever war you're in, whatever battle you're fighting, God has the power to make the war cease. So he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. And all of a sudden, we move from this third person writing and God steps in. Says, give me the pen. And you can picture this. The Spirit of God comes in and grabs the pen. And he steps back away and God says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen and I'll be exalted among the earth. And he hands the pen back to the writer. And the writer says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Now, hang on just a second. Because I got a 1-2 punch combo for the devil's teeth tonight. Are y'all ready for this? This messed me up, okay? You got to listen to this. All of a sudden, we go from being still. And we go from this Selah and this pause and everything that's just taken place as the writer has penned these beautiful words. And God stepped in the room and said, be still and know that I am God. And he finishes with all of that. The Lord of hosts is with us. And he takes another pause. And all of a sudden, the same writer picks up the pen again and he starts a new chapter. And Psalms 47 says in verse 1, oh, clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. In other words, listen to me right now. In other words, in reference to everything that's taking place, when you've been still long enough until you know who he is, you can't be still any longer. There's something that comes over you that says, I know who he is, and I gotta clap my hands. I gotta shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Gotta be still until you know who God is. But once you know who God is, there ought to be a shout, there ought to be a hand clap. You can walk in victory, you can live in victory. I know who God is. I want the music to come. I'm really done, I promise. And so we could stop it there. But then God impresses me to go a little further. Come on. And I turn to the book of Isaiah, verse 59, where it says, shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun? This is where we are right now. God's going to minister to somebody in this moment, so pay attention. If it's just one person, that's okay. God knows what he's doing. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. Anybody ever had the enemy come in on you like a flood? Listen, I've been through a little rain shower. Got a little drops on my bald head and my shoulders, and it was all right. But I've told y'all about it. I went through a flood in Henrietta, and I was swimming. There's a difference in a few drops and a flood. And I've had a few drops of the devil come around, but I've also had the enemy come at me like a flood. And this is where it makes so much more sense to me, knowing who God is that the Spirit, capital S, that means it's God. It's not just a spirit, it's the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift a standard up against him. You two young men, come help me, please. Right here. Come here. Let me tell you what happens to those that have a revelation of who he is. Right here. You're going to be a child of God. You're going to be the enemy that comes like a flood. Let me show you what this means. God says, if you know who I am as my child, my son, my daughter, he said, then whenever you're still long enough and say, God, I'm overwhelmed. Enemy's coming at me like a flood. He said, if you fear the name of the Lord, that means if you reverence. If you reverence something, you know something about it. I know something about a gun, so I reverence it. I'm careful with it. God said, if you know who I am, if you reverence, if you fear me, he said, when that enemy comes against you like a flood, he said, the Spirit is going to get between you and the enemy. If you fear me, if you know me, when it comes against you, I'm going to tell you something. The enemy will break through some things, but it ain't going nowhere against the Spirit of God. That was like 10%, dude. Are you okay? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. It was a love tap. I put a little chubby behind that one. But it's a great example because you got to understand how big God is. I can't do it justice today, but if God, the Spirit of God, is between you and the enemy that's like a flood, ain't nothing getting to you, baby. And some of y'all been having it come against you pretty hard. And God said, preacher, I need you to go tell him I'm about to raise a standard up. I'm about to put something in between them and the flood. I'm telling you, Monday's going to be different for somebody in this house. If you'll get a hold of the revelation of who God is, everything that he is, all that he is, knowing him. You've been fighting, you've been struggling and worrying and stressing because hell's on your trail. But you got to be reminded who God is, and you got to be still. I wonder if everybody would just lift your hands right where you are. Somebody needs to just close your eyes and think about God for a moment. Somebody needs to be reminded of who he is. Would you stand with me all across the house, those of you that are not yet? I want to stand in reverence to the presence of God that is entering this house. Whew. In the presence of Jehovah, anything can take place. I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord's getting ready to list a standard. I believe even bigger than that, and Pastor, I'm submitted to you. But I believe this church as a whole has been fighting against some things. And I believe if we'll bind together in unity and say we're going to get fresh revelation like never before, God's getting ready to lift a standard up against the enemy in this community on your behalf. Doors are going to open up. You're going to find favor with people because you're going to walk into the battlefield with an assurance. I know who he is. I got peace. I got confidence. I got assurance. I know who Jesus is. I wonder if you would just take a moment and just talk to him. Would you tell him, God, I want to know you better than I've ever known you before. If there's a sinner friend here today, a guest, and you want to know who Jesus is, I invite you to come to the front and lift your hands and just say, God, I want to know you for myself. You can't make it off a pastor's relationship, and you can't make it off of mom and daddy's knowing. You got to know for yourself. These altars are open. I'm inviting anybody and everybody that will come. Could we take a moment and just get to know who he is? Could we just take a moment and be still? Maybe in a little bit we'll dance and we'll shout, but right now we need to be still for a moment, because some of y'all need to put some burdens down. Some of y'all been hanging on to some stuff. You need to let go of it and put it in the hands of a God that's bigger than your problems. You need to put it in the hands of a God that's greater than everything going on. It's God's turn tonight. Would somebody just talk to him? Would you lift your voice? Tears are flowing. Hands are lifted. People are talking to him. Come on, I'm telling you, there's a divine intervention in the Holy Ghost right now. God's going to intervene on your behalf. I believe it. Come on, Apostolic Lighthouse. How long are you going to struggle? How long are you going to battle on your own before you realize it's not yours, it's God's tonight? You're in his presence right now. You're right where he is right now. You just got to know him. You just got to be still long enough to be reminded of who he is. Come on, I need some prayer warriors right now. I need some people to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Can somebody seek after him right now?
Stand still and let God move. Standing still is sometimes hard to do. When you feel you have reached the end, he will make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is sometimes hard to do. You feel that you have reached the end, he will make a way for you. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is sometimes for you. Stand still and let God move. Stand still and let God move. Standing still is sometimes hard to do. When you feel you have reached the a way for you, stand still and let God move. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God?
Come on, you need to let go of the fear right now.
Oh, we'll see.
Woo, he's greater than your fear. He's greater than the depression right now. Woo, come on. He's greater than the anxiety attacks and the panic attacks and the worry that floods your mind. Woo, how great
is our God.
He's so great.
Oh, sing with me, how great.
Come on. Somebody's getting a revelation of who he is again. He's greater than what I'm facing tonight.
Oh, we'll see how. How great.
So great.
How great. Ooh. Is our God.
Come on, nobody's looking around right now. We're knowing who Jesus is. We're getting to know who He is. Is our God. Sing with me.
Sing with me. How great.
He's so great.
Our God.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
Oh, we'll see how great.
Come on, He's great right now.
How Woo. Great.
The closer you get to Him, the bigger He becomes in your world. Somebody draw close to Him. He's so great.
Our God, sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we'll see how great is our God. Name above all names,
you've done, but because of who you are right now.
Jehovah Jireh,
Woo!
You are my provider.
Jehovah Nisi, Lord, you reign. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Come on, He's your peace right now. Somebody dig deep for just a moment. Get to know Him for just a moment. Come on, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is walking amongst us right now. if we'll just press a little bit. Apostolic Lighthouse, can we press? We've got people seeking the Holy Ghost. We've got people that are being ministered to and receiving strength. Can we just press a little further in right now? Come on, don't let up. Come on, I want to know who He is like I've never known Him before. Woo! Come on, that's it. That's it. God's doing it right now. Come on, He hears your prayer. Every tear you're shedding, He sees it right now.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are, because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Sinners slain.
The author of redemption.
Oh, glory to His name. Well, it's all in Him.
It's all in Him.
Woo!
The fullness of the Godhead.
It's all in Him. Well, it's all in Him. mighty God is Jesus, and it's all in Him.
The Alpha and Omega, beginning.
Come on, do you know who He is?
The Word incarnate, the
helpless sinner's friend, our wisdom and perfection,
our righteousness and power.
Yea, all we need in Jesus, we find this very hour.
It's all in Him.
Somebody stand to your feet, clap your hands, and sing it right now. I know who Jesus is.
Waited, we'll be the glad refrain of Israel recreated when Jesus comes again. He will come and save us, our King and Priest to be. For in Him dwells all fullness, and Lord of all. Jesus, the